As the Lord usually does, He changes things on Sunday morning. I think I'm going to know what I'm going to be preaching about, and then I get up on Sunday morning and He changes it all. How many of you enjoy a mystery? You know, the Bible's full of mysteries. It's not mysterious because God doesn't want us to know. It's mysterious because it takes the power of the Holy Spirit and His Word to reveal that. That's basically all it means. So I'm going to be speaking to you this morning about some mysteries. I was going to teach on Colossians, but like I say, He changed my mind. But most of the scriptures, if you want to read, most of them are in Colossians. I'll be reading from Colossians. The first scripture that I'm going to be reading is Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And I'm reading from the King James Version, so some of you may be reading from the New King James Version, but not a whole lot of difference. New King James Version maybe clears it up a little bit, but I've been memorizing and preaching the King James Version since I was 20, and I'm now 87, so it's been a while. So Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer. How many of you continue in prayer? Never quit praying. Amen. And watch in the same. I guess that means we need to watch out what we're saying when we're praying. Amen. And it also means the last word with thanksgiving. So when we pray, we need to come to the realization that we're just not speaking words, but we're talking to our Father who is in heaven, and He's real and He's alive. And He wants to hear what we have to say because He delights in answering our prayers, because when we see our prayers answered and we're praying for something, that causes our joy to be full. Amen? Any of you ever have answered prayers? I'm sure if you pray, you have. Am I too loud or something? I have a vibration, it seems like. Colossians 4, verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds. So there is a mystery in Christ, and those who of us have been called by God to speak of Christ and to speak that mystery have one of the greatest privileges and honors that anybody but they ever could receive in their whole life. What an honor and a privilege, and it is, and what also, what a serious matter it is. The mystery of Christ. And we're going to find out what that mystery is, because God wants us to understand what that mystery is. Amen? And He will reveal it to us as we go along in His Word, and hopefully this morning. Verse 4 says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In other words, once I want it to be manifested, I want it to be made known, I want it to be revealed so that you can understand what the mystery of Christ is. Amen. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. I want to read that verse. The mystery of Christ is the mystery, even the mystery, which has been hidden or hid from ages and from generations. But now, everybody say now, is manifested or revealed to His saints. How many How many saints do we have here this morning? If you're a Christian, you're a saint. Amen. That's what makes us a saint. We're not made saints because of who we are. We're made saints because of who Jesus is. Amen. He made us saints, and we don't act like it sometimes. We don't talk like it, but we are. And that's the reason why our body is, the Bible tells us that our body is a habitation of God through the Spirit. So that when, and I want to remind you of this, as I like to remind everyone, that you can talk to God anytime because your body is His habitation. He lives in you if you're a Christian. And you can talk to Him anytime you want to. And some of the best times I've had talking to the Lord is just when I'm driving down the highway in my automobile and just spending time with Him, talking to Him. And sometimes, I remember one time, I was going to visit someone. I was working at the Naval Air Station for the OICC, Officer in Charge of Construction. I was out there as a inspector. And I was on the way to the, I got off at lunchtime. I told them I was taking a few minutes off for lunch so I could go to Nueces County Jail and see one of my parishioners who was in jail. Amen. And so I was driving down the road and talking to the Lord, mainly because I wanted Him to tell me what He wanted me to tell Him. And it was just like He came and sat down in the car with me. It was just like I didn't see Him, but it was like I could see Him. Have you ever had an experience like that? He was sitting in the car, and I was just driving along and talking. I was just like I was talking to Him right then. And I had an issue that had been going on. Just forgive me. I'm just going to talk this morning. Amen. And don't forgive me because I'm going to do what the Lord says to do. Amen. And that doesn't need to be forgiven. So I was talking to Him about some problems and issues. Our youngest daughter always purchased a car for our children when they retired or graduated from school. And so I just purchased a car, and I purchased the car, and they made the payments on it. And then after about 3 or 4 months, she come in the house one day and said, "Dad, I'm leaving you the car. I'm getting married, and my husband has a car, and so we're getting married, and I don't need your car anymore." So here I was stuck with a third car and some car payments. Mm-hmm. And so one of my important problems that I had and my issues, and I thought about that as I was talking to Him, and He was just about to leave. When I got through talking, praying to Him and speaking to Him and talking to Him as we drove along, I was going down SPID, and I said, "Oh," it just dawned on me, and I said, "By the way, Lord, what about this car?" He just said, as he went out the door, he just said, "It'll be taken care of tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And he was gone. The next morning, at 10 o'clock, a man came by the office. I looked at my, I was at the Naval Air Station. And he came by the office and he signed the papers and bought that car at 10 o'clock. I looked at my watch. And that's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of Heavenly Father we have. That's who Jesus is. And if I forget to say this, I just want to say, when I think it was one of the disciples, Philip, I believe it was, asked Jesus, when he said, "I'm going back to my Father," Philip said, "Well, show us the Father, Lord, and we'll be satisfied." And he said, Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." So as we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, and I'd ask you to do that, and then do it more than what just once, read it over and over again. And when you're reading it, I want you to understand, as you're reading it, you're finding out about who Jesus is, but also as you're seeing Jesus and what he did and what he does and what he spoke, you're seeing the Father. Let me tell you, he's a wonderful Father. Totally, absolutely amazing. And the more we get to know him, the more we understand, the more we experience the reality of his presence in our lives. And that's exactly what he wants us to do, to experience the reality of his presence in our lives. Because without that, you just don't have anything. Amen. That's why he wants our bodies. He wants to come and live in us, and that's what he does. And I have to get back up here because I have my scriptures written down, and I want to read some more. And I'm still in Colossians. And that was Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, I believe it is, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. I want to look at that one. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in the saints. And I just wanted to repeat that because it's that mystery is being manifested in and through his saints. And a saint is nothing more than someone whom God has saved. And whom God has saved is those who call upon him and receive him into their heart. For as many as received him, the Bible tells us, to them gave he the power and authority to become the sons of God. Amen. So if we received him, we know about the mystery. Because verse 27 says, of whom God would make known what is the riches. He wants to make known to you as one of his children, if you are one of his children, and you receive the gift of his love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and he gave him for you and me. For the sins of the whole world, God gave his Son. And there's some riches in that. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And he says, tells us what this mystery is right here, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Don't ever forget, if you're a Christian, the way you become a Christian is you receive God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you confess, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Amen. And that's what salvation is. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we don't just have a religion, and it's not just that we believe some doctrine or some denominational thing, ideology or philosophy. It means that when we came, whether we realized it or not, and I didn't realize it because I was young and I didn't really understand all the things that I do now after studying and preaching the Word for 60 some odd years. I didn't really understand that when I came from a pew on a Sunday morning and knelt down at the altar and said, Lord Jesus, I come into my heart. I want you to save me. That he did. And I've never been the same since. Amen? He gave me a desire to read the Word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and faith is the bread of the Word of God is the bread of life. Amen? So don't think you can go through the world and as a Christian and not read this Bible, because this is where your faith comes from. This is where your bread comes from. This is where we are spiritually fed by the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, is through his Word. Stay in the Word. Don't forget the Word. You say, well, I don't understand. It doesn't make any difference whether you understand it. It does make some difference, but really what's happening when you read the Word, you understand more than you think, because the Spirit of God is going to reveal things to you as you read it and as you go through your life. He's going to say to you and maybe remind you, hey, while you're going through something, maybe it's a trial, maybe it's a pressure, maybe it's doubt, maybe it's fear, maybe it's worry, maybe whatever. There's all kinds of things where the enemy attacks us, because once we're transferred out from the kingdom and power of darkness, this world system, into the kingdom and power of God, then we enter into spiritual warfare. Now, babies in Christ don't have that much of a spiritual warfare because they don't know that much, and that's why those of us that are Christians and are mature should pray for them and lift them up and keep them before the Lord, so that they can be helped, because they need all the help they can get. Amen. But we're supposed to not stay babies for the rest of our lives. The Bible says grow. Everybody say grow. You know what that means, right? Grow. How do we grow? In the grace, that is, in the love, which is means we experience more and more of His love as we have a relationship through Him, as we go through our days with Him. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, the Bible said, how many of you ever have a care? Right? You have something that's bothering you, or something's going to, it may not just be with you, it may be one of your family members, or it may be your job, or your boss, or whatever. But He says in His Word, cast all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. That means He cares whatever you're going through and whatever you're experiencing in your life. Doubts, fears, worry, frustrations, battle, jobs, business, finances, whatever is bothering you, concern, you can cast all of your cares on Him because He cares for you. And when you cast them on Him, leave them there. Don't go back and pick them up. We all have a tendency to do that, don't we? Cast all of your cares on Him. I don't even know where I am. I think I was in Colossians 1:26. The mystery which is made manifest to His saints. So He reveals to you as a Christian that you belong to Him, and your body is the habitation of God through the Spirit, because God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Why is He doing this? That their hearts might be comforted. The Holy Spirit in the Word of God of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the disciples were concerned that they're about to lose His presence. They didn't understand, but He was going to go away, and they didn't know where He was going, and they didn't know if they'd ever see Him again. And just, can I paraphrase this? What He was telling them, don't you worry. I'm sending you another Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And He will be with you forever. Amen? So He is, when we need comfort, the greatest thing that we can experience, the greatest thing that I experience is the presence and the comforting that the Holy Spirit brings in my life every day. That's the greatest part of my salvation, is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And He wants to do that for you. And that means that you not only cast all your fears upon Him, but you can cast anything and everything, all your cares, because He cares for you. Amen? And I've learned over the years, I've even said, Lord, I've been praying for this issue about a year, maybe a year and a half, and it hasn't been taken care of yet. And you know what he says? In my time. So you know what I've learned to pray? Lord, show me what it is you're trying to teach me through this experience so I can get out of it as soon as possible. Amen? What is it that you're trying to teach me, because I don't like this experience and I want to get out of it? And, you know, we were singing this song this morning. I thought about it. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend you have. Don't neglect him. Spend time with him. And it doesn't make any difference if you have fears. He knows all about us. He knows what we think. He knows everything. So we can't hide anything from him. So what's the use in even trying? So if you're feeling a certain way, you don't like something, whatever, or if you love somebody and you want to pray for them and you know they're going through something and you want to pray for them, know that he hears and answers your prayers. But he answers them in his time. Amen? And so, the Bible tells us in one of the scriptures, I think it's in Philippians, and I learned this a long time ago, Lord showed it to me. I didn't really like it all that much, but it was from him, so I had to accept it. He said, let patience have its perfect work. And so now I've learned, Lord, help me to be patient. Help me to be patient. I need to learn how to be patient. And so patience is not something you just catch or just when it's thrown at you. So patience is something that you learn, that we learn. We learn patience. So that's the reason the Bible says, let patience have its perfect work. Patience, to me, if I'm praying for something seriously and I want an answer, and I've seen a lot of answers about cars and, well, everything under the sun over the years, I've seen answers about everything and received answers from God about everything. But I didn't always get it just exactly when I wanted it or when I prayed for it. So patience is one of the things that teaches us, and what it teaches us is to exercise our faith. To exercise our faith. Faith is, and in God, that means trust. It means trusting in God. And it doesn't mean that when I get impatient, it means that the enemy is trying to attack me and cause me to be impatient and to worry and to doubt and to fear. One of the biggest battles I ever fought in my life when I first became a Christian, committed my life to Christ at 20 years old, surrendered to the ministry, and said, God, here am I. Send me whatever you want to do with me. I belong to you. One of the first things that the enemy fought me with, it was, I was reading in Acts, and I think it was Acts chapter 9, and I was reading, it was talking about Paul's experience on the road to Damascus, if I remember correctly, and he said, the men that journeyed with me heard not the voice. And then in Acts chapter 22, Paul was relating his testimony to King Agrippa. And he said, the men that journeyed with me heard not the voice. And the enemy immediately grabbed that and put it in my mind. Now, here I am 20 years old. Because I'd always heard the Bible never contradicted itself. And so the enemy was showing me a direct contradiction. In Acts chapter 9, Paul said they heard not the voice. In Acts chapter 22, I think if I'm remembering correctly, they heard the voice. And so for a week, I fought this battle. Is the Word of God true or not? It's not supposed to contradict itself. And there is a direct contradiction. And I found some more. I'm not going to go into all of them, but there's some what is called, what we may think is a contradiction. It's an apparent contradiction, but it's not a contradiction. I want to make that clear right now. But it seems to be a contradiction. When it says they heard not the voice, and when it says they heard the voice, that to me was a direct contradiction, and the enemy was trying to destroy my faith and my trust in God. And he was doing a good job of it too, because a week I thought about that. And I was on the way from Foster Air Force Base in Victoria, Texas, on my way home. I joined the Air Force to see the world. I was living in Ingleside. I went to San Antonio for basic training. I went to Victoria for the rest of my enlistment. I got to see a whole lot of the world. Thank God. Anyway, I was on the way home, and this is the first time I heard God's voice this clear. And it was, he spoke this, because I had been concerned. I had been full of doubt and worry. I was worried that the Bible contradicted itself. And he spoke this to me just as plain as day. And I see trials try to say it is exactly like he said it. Lewis, that is no contradiction. In chapter 9, it says, they heard the voice as a sound. But in chapter 22, he said they heard not the voice, means they didn't understand what the voice was saying. There was no contradiction. Just like in Psalms, it says, well, I'm not even going to go there. Let me get back up here. I've already run out of time. Where was I? Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Everybody understands that as one of God's children, God wants you to have full assurance of your understanding in the acknowledgement of God. And of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. So there's mysteries of God, and mysteries of the Father, and mysteries of Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, For in Christ, that is who he's speaking of here, in him dwelleth the fullness of God, the Godhead, bodily. So when you see Christ and read about Christ, God's fully expressed in him, because he is full of God. He is God. He is God in the flesh. First Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. So are you a Christian? Your godliness is of Christ, because he's in you. He's your godliness. He's your righteousness. I am the righteousness of God, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you've heard me say this, and I'll try to say it real quickly. You're not a body. When I see you, I'm looking at a body. But that's just your earth suit. You hear me? You're going to put this off. But that doesn't mean you're dead. Because you're not a body, you're a spirit. And we live in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, there is angels and demons, and there's all kinds of things going on in the spiritual realm. And we need to be aware of the fact that we are in the spiritual realm because we're a spirit being. God is a spirit, the Bible said. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So you're worshiping God in your spirit. We worship God in our spirit. There is a spiritual realm. And there's a battle going on in the spiritual realm. There's a spiritual battle once you become a Christian. Satan doesn't bother you much when you belong to his kingdom and you're born into this world system. You belong to his kingdom because you're born here. And God doesn't hold that against you. That's the reason he sent his son to die on the cross for all of us, so we could be saved spiritually. Amen? So, we're a spirit being. We look out of these two windows we call eyes. I can reach over here and touch myself. I'm aware of myself that this is not me. This is just something I'm living in. It's like I can go over and touch the window in my house or the wall in this church, and I understand that I'm in a building. It's not me. I'm in it. That's not you. You're just in it. And God put you in it so we could see one another. Put us in it so we could see one another and have communications with one another and love one another and care for one another. Amen? For the body without the spirit is dead. You know what the Bible says? So spiritually, we live for eternity. The question is, and the one that we need to decide is, where are we going to spend it? In the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of the Satan or this world system? You know, that's your choice. The mystery of godliness. So, we are godly in Christ Jesus. St. John chapter 9, verse 37. I want to read a couple more verses, then I'm going to close. St. John 9, 37. And Jesus said unto him, when he was talking to Philip, show us the Father, he said. John 9, 37, Gospel of John. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that's speaking with thee. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know who the Father is. Amen. As he represented God. St. John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm going to start reading there. And I'm going to read three verses, and I'm going to close. St. John chapter 14, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. He didn't say a way, he said the way. I am the truth. He is the truth, and he is the life. No man, no person, no individual that's ever been born can come unto the Father but by me. They have to come through me. Amen? If I'm going to know God as my Father and I'm going to get to spend some time with Him and receive Him, then I have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And I don't say that. God says that. Jesus says that. By me. No man can come to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 7, If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, from this time on, you're going to know him. You know him and have seen him." Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. It'll satisfy us." And Jesus, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show them then? How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Amen. I want you to know that as a person, as a young person and didn't really know much, or as someone that, as a grown person and thought you knew a whole lot, and probably do, and possibly do, I want you to know this, and God wants you to know this, that if sometime or another in your life you've called on the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, I want you to save me. Please forgive me. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God." At that moment, Christ came into you. And you receive Christ. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And don't let the devil worry you about your sins. We shouldn't sin. We shouldn't. The Bible wants us to walk, tells us how to walk and what to do so we can please Him. But we do fail. We do get in the flesh. And have you ever get angry? Ever get mad? Ever get jealous? Ever worry? That's all sin. Are you with me? But God sees you as one of His children. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that will never change. And I hope you receive that and accept that. Let's stand. If anyone needs to come down and talk to me or Brother Pastor, Brother Scott, or we'll be glad to talk to you anytime, or want to call us up, whatever, we'll be glad to talk to you. If you just want to feel like you need to come here to the altar at this time and make an assurance of your call, your salvation, and you just want to come here because the Spirit of God hears in a special way, you want to come to the altar, come at this time. We're going to be dismissed with prayer. And it's good to see all of you, and God bless you, everyone. And I hope and pray He strengthens you and encourages you. And I hope you pray for me, pray for this church, and all of us, because we all need your prayers, every one of us. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for loving and caring for us. We thank you, Father, that you're someone who knows all about our issues and our problems and things that we go through and struggles in our lives. That we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us and because you love us. And that you made us the righteousness of God in your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And have given us the Comforter, your Holy Spirit, and help us not to quench Him or to grieve Him in any way, Lord, and forgive us what we have. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful day.